Today we're going to continue in our series, Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Now today, I know that July is a busy month and we have a lot of people traveling, taking vacations. And so I just encourage, if you've missed any of this part of the series, we've already preached the last two. The first one was, who is he? We answered that first question the first week. Who is he? And we established that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. And that to say that you don't believe in the Holy Spirit would be the same thing as saying you don't believe in Jesus. To say you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, to say the same thing, I don't believe in God. Because we see in Scripture, and we proved it in Scripture, where time and time again, where the Holy Spirit was mentioned as God. The Holy Spirit is a description function of the God. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about the fact that, is he a person? We answered that question, is he a person? Because we, in describing who he is, I described to you that he's my best friend. And for us to have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, you got to be able to see him as a person as well. And we looked in Scripture and talked about how the Holy Spirit had a soul, how the Holy Spirit had a mind, how we can grieve the Holy Spirit, how it has emotions. And so we have established that the Holy Spirit is a person, that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, and the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, he is the one who is trying to get us to think like God thinks. The Holy Spirit's job is to help me think like God thinks. The Holy Spirit has all knowledge. And the Holy Spirit has the answers. He has all knowledge. And so it's up to me to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit so that I can grow in all truth. I can grow in the truths of the Spirit as God reveals it to me through his Holy Spirit. And so I must learn to walk in the Spirit of God. I must learn to open up my ears and listen and talk to the Holy Spirit. And so we simply last week left you with a simple challenge that when you got up in the morning on Monday morning, that you would say the simple thought, whether you said it in your mind or in your heart or in your spirit, or you verbalized it out loud, you would say this, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit, symbolizing that you knew the Holy Spirit was there and you wanted to cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, today I'm going to ask you this question. We're going to talk about this thought on who is the Holy Spirit and ask this question. Is he, the Holy Spirit, is he Pentecostal? Is he Pentecostal? When we hear the word Pentecostal, automatically, I can see the light bulbs going off in your head. Boom, 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 boom. We have a matter of opinion. We hear that word Pentecostal, so many things. And there's a lot of definitions that come with the word Pentecostal. There's the cultural definition, there's the historical definition, and there's also denominational definitions of Pentecostal. And so if I am talking about, is he Pentecostal, am I asking, does the Holy Spirit wear makeup? Does the Holy Spirit wear shorts? Or does the Holy Spirit wear its hair in a bun? We call that bondage. Bondage, yeah, sorry. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit in legalism form. I'm not talking about Pentecost in legalism. I'm not talking about Pentecost when it comes to a certain name of a denomination. Is the Holy Spirit Pentecost? It's not, has nothing to do with the denomination or a particular church. When I ask, is the Holy Spirit Pentecost, I'm talking about the biblical definition of what Pentecost really means. So we're going to answer this question. Is he Pentecostal? If I mean by the works of his person, who he is, of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of the feast of Pentecost, of fruits and gifts, yes, he is Pentecost. We know that the Bible says that John was a Baptist. So is the Holy Spirit Pentecost? Some of you will get that tomorrow. Yeah, I know. We know that John was a Baptist. So is the Holy Spirit Pentecost? Let's look at Scripture and see how we define this. So let's ask the first question. How do we know he's Pentecost? First of all, what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Acts 2, 1 through 4 says it like this. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now remember that word sound, because that's an important part of this scripture, because we see where suddenly there came a loud sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we see here in the scripture that Pentecost, right here, according to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. We see with the day of Pentecost that, first of all, back it up one slide, if you would. Look where it says in the first part of this verse. Had fully come. That Pentecost had started a long time before this ever happened. What we call the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That Pentecost had actually already begun to be started way back in the Old Testament. And very back, the children of Israel started this when they called the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. We see in Scripture where they had three major feasts that the children of Israel were commanded by God to observe and to worship during these three major feasts. Let's go those if we could, guys. Three major feasts. We see the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, within these feasts themselves, there were also other feasts that went along with them. They were not the only feasts, but these were the three major feasts, and underneath these umbrellas, some other feasts that were going on. But we see three major feasts that were started by the children of Israel that God had commanded them to observe. The first one was Passover. And we see where Passover, we know Passover was basically when the children of Israel were being delivered out of Pharaoh's hand, being freed from Egypt as slaves, that God sent the death angel. Remember when God sent the death angel to kill the firstborn as a sign because Pharaoh would not release them. And he warned all the people of God to take the lamb's blood, put it over the doorstop. And if you have the lamb's blood over there, the death angel will pass over your house and you will escape the wrath that God was pouring out at that time. And so we see where Passover became a major observance that God had allowed us to be delivered out of the land of bondage, that we had the lamb's blood over our door pass, and that the death angel passed over us and spared our life and set us free. Then we see with the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost is where we find out the Feast of Pentecost. It's where Moses was given the law on Mount Sinai. We see on Mount Sinai, 50 days later, that God had given them. So from 50 days from Passover, that God had given the law, the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai to Moses. And so what is Pentecost? As we define it and look at it as the definition, Pente means five, and costal, or costi, the original costi word, which we get the word Pentecostal, five, and to the tenth power. That's where we get the word 50. Basically what it means is 50. Pentecostal means 50. 50. And so Pentecostal doesn't actually mean something that you maybe thought. Pentecostal actually means the number 50. Because on the 50th day after Passover, they were commanded to observe the Feast of Pentecost. This has a big definition, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, because we see on the Mount Sinai where Moses went to hear from God, he gave him the Ten Commandments. That was 50 days, had happened 50 days prior to Passover. And God said, I want you to reserve this day. Remember this as a feast, the day that I give you the laws, the Ten Commandments, and I visit you on the mountain. We just read that scripture says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we see where Jesus died on the day of Passover. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was crucified on the day of Passover. That actually, according to that time, they were in the middle of their Passover feast, and Jesus was crucified on the exact day of Passover. And so if we think about this, as I thought about this, as the observance of Passover and Pentecost coming to fullness of here, I see where 50 days is commanded of the Lord to tell us that we are to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost 50 days after Passover. And we know that Jesus was crucified on Passover. And so if we take 50 days past that, that's when the day of Pentecost was fully to come. But if you do your math, that doesn't add up, does it? Because Jesus was killed on Passover, but he was in the tomb for how many days? 3 days. How many days did the scripture tell us that he walks the earth? 40 days. How many days after that did the disciples have to wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit? 10 days. So we have 50 plus the 3 he was in the tomb. So that's 53 days past Passover. And so I was trying to connect the dots here, thinking, God, there's something here that's missing. There's something here that's missing, because I know that Scripture lines itself up. Scripture lines itself up and always corrects itself and always brings to fruition the promise that God has for us. And I saw the Scripture, and I think you'll enjoy it. Live, guys, Leviticus 23 and 15. This is God speaking to tell them. He says, and you shall count. He's talking about the Passover now and the festival of Pentecost. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. This happens during Passover. seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall be given to offer a new grain offering to the Lord. This is what God was saying all the way back in. He was looking. Now, I want you to see this because God has a plan. And I want you to realize that God's had a plan all along for Pentecost. God had a plan all the way back in the book that God knew that, you know what, the numbers aren't going to line up just right here. And it's important that Jesus is killed on Passover. And it's important that the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. But it's also important that Jesus is here for 40 days. 40 is a significant number with God. We see where it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. We see where Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert. There's something about with Jesus, the day of 40 was an important number to God. We also see where 10 was an important number to God. God used the number 10 for testing. He tested the disciples. Go and tarry. Wait for 10 days. He wants us to give 10%. Daniel was tested for 10 days. I mean, we see his number 10 as a number of testing in the Bible. So there's something about the number 40 and number 10 that he wanted completed. At the same time, he wanted Jesus to die on Passover. And he also wanted the day of Pentecost to come on the day of Pentecost. And so, to get all those numbers together, what was Jesus thinking? What was God thinking? Look what God said. He says, and you shall count for yourselves. Don't count immediately after the Passover. He goes, if Passover ends on Friday, then you wait until the Sabbath day, your first Sabbath, and then count the day after that. Then I want you to observe Pentecost. That's when I want you to start the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Sabbath, the first Sabbath. So if the Passover landed on a Thursday and the Sabbath was on a Saturday, they started counting to celebrate Pentecost on a Sunday. Somebody tell me, when did Jesus die? He died on what? He died on Passover day. He was in the tomb. He was raised on a what? On a Sunday. God knew all along, and God had a plan. All along, he said, let me tell you, I'm going to line all this up because some of you are going to come back. There's going to be some of you just a little smarter than the others. And you're going to come back and try to cross every dot, every I, and you know, dot every I, and cross every T. And you're going to look at this and say, well, it doesn't match up. It doesn't match up. No, God had a plan. And God's had this master plan all along. And God even took care of it all the way back in the beginning of the scripture. We see what God told them. This is how I want you to count. This is how I want you to count after the feast. And the day of Pentecost had fully come. We see where Pentecost was the fullness of this feast of Pentecost. So let's talk about what happened at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? Acts 2 and verses 5 through 7, and we'll skip to verse 11. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, remember there was a sound again, when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speaking his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? Let's skip to verse 11. Now we see the rest of the scripture between 7 and 11, where he names all the different people groups. There's about 18 people groups named there. We can't even pronounce half the groups in there. So we're going to skip right to verse 11, which ends the people groups. Back it up one, please. Back it up to verse 11, please. There you go. The Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. This is what all the people groups were saying. All the different nations that were represented, they came, heard the sound from heaven. They came trying to find out what's going on. When they got there, we hear them speaking in our own words, tongues, the wonderful works of God. And look what it says in verse 7. Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And we know that Galileans, why they said it was Galileans, because Galileans were, education-wise, were not very educated people. They were not highly educated. They were not bilingual, okay? Let's just say that. They didn't know more than their own native language. And so to hear them speaking in other native languages was a big deal because people knew that Galileans were not bilingual. They did not have the education of other languages. And so they hear the sound from heaven. They come rushing. What is the sound? This is a very important thing because we see where all the different nations and languages come together, confused that they had heard the message of the Lord. Back in Genesis chapter 11, you ever heard the story of the Tower of Babel? You ever heard that story as a kid growing up? You know the story of the Tower of Babel where it says the people were united and they were so full of pride. They were so full of themselves. They thought, you know, we're going to build a tower that goes all the way to heaven and we're going to touch heaven. They started building this tower and God looked at them and said, man, these people are united and there's probably nothing, even though they're coming with pride, there's nothing they can't accomplish because they are in one mind, they're in one accord, but they were doing it in the wrong spirit. They were doing it out of a spirit of pride. They had the spirit of pride inside of them. and a spirit of rebellion, the rebellion against what God wanted, and never had a spirit of pride. We're going to be as God. We're going to get to God our own way. We're not going to let God come to us. We're going to go to God in our own way. We're going to build a tower to get to God. It says that God saw that, and God cursed them by allowing them to speak all kinds of different languages. This is where we see the language barrier right here begin to divide. God looked at them, and he gave them all a different tongue, gave them all a different language, and therefore they couldn't communicate with each other, and they spread around the world, therefore going in their own people groups and their own language groups, and that's how we see the dividing of tongues happening right here. They could not understand each other. It was God's curse. God confused them with their languages, and he scattered them throughout the nations. On the day of Pentecost, they all gathered in from all the other nations, and the Holy Spirit came, and they could all understand. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. In the Tower of Babel, God scattered them with a curse because they came to him in rebellion and in pride, and God spoke and scattered them with different languages. And now a loud cry comes, and all the different languages come back, and they can hear God's voice one more time, united. See, it's a foreshadowing of what was happening. I believe that Pentecost is a blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of Babel. That Pentecost is the blessed part, the reversal of the Tower of Babel. God was using, you know what, I'm going to bring back another language. It's not a language that you know, it's a heavenly language. And it's going to unite people once again, the language of the Holy Spirit. Everybody could understand. They all came and they all could hear their language being spoke there. When the outpouring of Pentecost happened, they could all hear their language being spoke, and they could all understand. That's what it said, they could all understand. It's a picture of heaven, isn't it? That's a picture of heaven. That every tribe, every nation, speaking one language, that's a language of praise to our God. Let's go back to the original Pentecost. Think about this a second. The original Pentecost happened, and a cloud descended upon the Mount Sinai. God had been leading them with a cloud of fire, by a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day. And this cloud, when God began to speak to Moses on the Mount Sinai, it moved and settled in on the mountain. The cloud descended. And the scripture says there was a loud noise. We see when Moses came off the mountain with those people who had already made a graven image and they were already rebelling in their heart, that 3,000 people died that day when Moses came off Mount Sinai. 3,000 people died that day. And the law was written on stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. But on the day that Pentecost was fulfilled, what happened? There was a loud sound from heaven. That's what it says, a loud sound from heaven. And the Holy Spirit set upon them with fire as the tongues. And 3,000 people were saved that day in one message. You see what's happening here. The fulfillment of Pentecost was a foreshadowing. When God said, I want you to celebrate Pentecost, or what I did on the Mount Sinai, it actually became into fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. That God says, this is the exact reversal. 3,000 people died, 3,000 people are saved. His Spirit was dropped, not on a mountain, but now it's being dropped on individuals. The fire of the Holy Spirit being dropped in people's lives. Pentecost is a fulfillment of Scripture. Pentecost is the empowerment to walk in righteousness. It's impossible. Look what happened. Without the Holy Spirit's help, Moses is up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments. Why? God is writing the Ten Commandments in stone. The people at the bottom of the mountain are down there breaking every Ten Commandment there is. I mean, that's why Moses gets down there and he breaks the Ten Commandments out of anger, because he's like, I can't even get the commands down here. And you guys are already down here. You're doing everything else he said not to do. Because you know why? It's impossible to live the Ten Commandments without the Holy Spirit's power. And think about it, guys. The Ten Commandments are really not that hard. They're really not that hard. They're not supposed to lie. They're not supposed to, you know, make any graven image or put any god before God. Not supposed to take name in vain. I shouldn't covet. You know, all these things, shouldn't kill and steal. Shouldn't commit adultery. I mean, these are things that really are not that hard. But they're impossible to uphold without the Holy Spirit's power. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, those who received the power of the Holy Spirit, God empowers you to live out his laws. God empowers you to be different. God empowers you to be his witness. God empowers you to walk in righteousness. Number three, can I experience Pentecost? Can I experience it? That's the question. That was 2,000 years ago, Pastor. Can I experience that today? Acts 2:3, this is what it says. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Think about that. Each one of them had a glow of the Holy Spirit. The tongues of fire had sat upon each one of them. And you could see it. You could actually see it. We know that when you could look at somebody, you could actually see the glow above them. But if you try to look at yourself, you couldn't see it, you know, because it go back. And you imagine being in that room, people going, look, man, there's something on you. There's something. It sat on each one of them. There's something on you. And you try to look and you can't see it. Isn't that amazing? But you can see it on somebody else. But you had to have faith that God had given you one as well. You had to have faith that yours was there. And we see this happening. Look what it says here. Each one appeared to them, divided tongues of fire, and sat upon each of them. Notice what it doesn't say. He said just on the disciples. There was 120 people in that room. Some of them were disciples. But many people are just common people working, praying, seeking for more of God. People just like you and me. People who were no different. People who had not really been at Jesus' feet a long time, but they just believed in his teachings. And they were following after him. These were not all prophets. These were not all pastors, disciples. These are people who, just like you and I, who were seeking after God. It says it sat upon each of them. Look what Acts 1, 4 and 5 says. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Look at this. He says that being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart, but to wait for the promise. We know that God has this for everyone. He commanded them all to wait. And we see this in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to who? You. Who's he preaching to? The other disciples? No, he's preaching to the multitude, the nations that had gathered there, the people who were coming to see what's going on. He says, for the promises to you and to your children. For the promises to you and your children and to all who are far off. I don't know about you, but that, when he says afar off, I think he's speaking right to me. Because there was a time in my life I was so afar off from God. I was way off, man. I was so far from God in my life. And he says he's speaking to you. He's speaking to your children, your grandchildren, their children, and to those that are far off yet. Those who haven't even been conceived yet. I'm speaking to this promise is for all those who will accept it. This promise of the Holy Spirit that he would send you and I a helper is to anyone who wants to receive it. It was just not for 2,000 years ago, but it is for today. It's a promise for today. It's a promise for you and I today. Someone says, I can't experience because it happened 2,000 years ago. So the question is this. Was the day of Pentecost a one-time experience? No. Look throughout the books of Acts. It happens many times throughout the books of Acts. We see in chapter 2, and it happened. And we see in Acts chapter 8, it happened again. In Acts chapter 10, it happened again. Acts chapter 19, it happened again. Pentecost is for today. Us experiencing the fullness of Pentecost is for today. Let me ask you this question. Can you be saved today? That's a question we have to answer. Can we be saved today? Some of you, I don't know. Is that a trick question? Okay. It's not a trick question. Simple question. Can we receive salvation today? Yes. But Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But when Jesus died on the cross, he started and opened the door to fulfillment of Passover and opened up the fulfillment of salvation. But salvation wasn't limited to what happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. It's for today. So, can I be saved today? The answer is yes. The question is, do I need to be saved today? Yes, I need to be saved. We can all agree to that. So the question again becomes, is the Holy Spirit for today? Yes. Do I need the Holy Spirit today? Yes. The question's answer is yes. I need salvation today. It's available today and I need it today. The Holy Spirit is available today and I need it today. The fruit of the three feasts. Let's finish the three feasts here and look at those. Let's see, we had Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. The three feasts were going on. We see Passover, of course, we just talked about Passover represented in Scripture. We see Passover represented the children of Israel being delivered from Pharaoh's slavery out of Egypt when God put the blood over the lamppost, the lamb's blood over the doorpost. That happened. What happened? That the death angel skipped over. We talked about that. God said, I want you to observe that. Realize on Passover, the day of Passover, when Jesus was crucified, that at 9 a.m., the children of Israel were commanded to observe Passover. They were commanded to cut the throat of the lamb as they sacrificed the lamb at 9 a.m. We know that at 9 a.m. that Jesus was nailed to a cross. Then at 3 p.m., they were commanded to take that lamb and to put it into the oven. We know at 3 p.m. that Jesus was put into the grave, into a tomb. At the same time, the Father of the Jews were commanded, he said, in observance of this day, I want you to take some unleavened bread. Unleavened bread represents the purity of a type of bread. And he said, I want you to hide this bread, and you hide it for 3 days, and then on the third day, you pull it out and take it, and you offer it up in front of the family. You hide it in front of the family, but on the third day, you pull it out, and you wave this bread as an offering of the first fruits, symbolizing this is the first fruits, God, of the harvest. God, we know that you're going to supply our needs. God, we know that you have what we have need of. And that Father would pull out that unleavened bread, and he would wave it as an offering to the Lord. So we know that Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 a.m., just as a lamb was being slaughtered. We know that Jesus was put in the tomb at 3 p.m. And 3 days later, when the bread was being brought out of hiding, it was offered up as the first fruits. And we know that 3 days later that Jesus rose again from the tomb, and it came out as an offering of first fruits, saying, God, it's happening now. I am unlocking the door to all who can believe. A new power of salvation, a new relationship is coming. I have defeated death. Passover was completed by Jesus. Jesus completed Passover. Passover was fulfillment by Jesus. Let's look at the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled 50 days after the Sabbath, the first Sabbath, after the Passover. The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came 50 days after the first Sabbath, after Passover. The Feast of Tabernacles. We see what happened there. The Feast of Tabernacles, what is it? It's not been fulfilled yet. The Feast of Tabernacles was this, simply this. The Feast of Tabernacles is where they are commanded to go out and to live in tents. And live in tents for a few days and go out there for a week and live in tents. And it symbolized them remembering that we, for 40 years, we were in the desert living in tents as God was taking us to a new promised land. And so they would have to go out on the Feast of Tabernacle and build a tent and live in a tent and stay there for 7 days remembering that God had once asked them to live in tents for 40 years in the wilderness. But on the last day of the feast, they would go back and they would go through their house and have this big celebration. They would say, you know what? Thank you, God, that we have a home. Thank you, God, that we have been given a new home. Thank you, God, that you supplied us with all these things of blessing. And it was a remembering where God had brought them from, but also remembered what God was doing. And Tabernacle included many things. Tabernacle included many celebrations that was happening, but the main job was to say this, that God, you abide with us. So God, you have a promise for us. So let me talk to you about this. So Passover was fulfilled in how many days? In one day. Jesus fulfilled Passover in one day. The day of Pentecost was fulfilled in when? One day. In one day it was fulfilled. Has the Feast of Tabernacle been fulfilled? Not yet. Not yet. It has not been fulfilled yet. But how many know the Scripture says that the day that no man knows, the return of the Lord that no man knows, the day or the hour. But we know in the Feast of Tabernacles that there was trumpets that were used. And we see that one day the trump's going to sound, Jesus said. And in one day, in an instant, the trumpet's going to sound. And those who believe in him and who are called by his name, they're going to be gathered up together to God with the Lord. And what are we going to do? We're going to tabernacle with the Lord one more time. And so in one day, that's going to happen, that we, the church, are going to be reunited with our Savior. He says, where I go, where am I going? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. So right now, you're living in a place. It's all right. Some of it's not bad. But one day you're going to go to a place and you're going to tabernacle with me. It's going to have many mansions. One day you're going to spend time with me, man. It's going to be awesome. And so that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. So we know that Passover has been completed through Jesus. We know that the Feast of Pentecost has been completed through the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Has tabernacle happened yet? No, it has not happened. And it will not happen until the return of our God. But let me ask you this question in closing. Can you experience Passover? Yes. We can all experience salvation, can't we? We celebrate Passover. We celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for us. That's what Passover is. We're celebrating, God, that you died on the cross for us. You shed your sins that I can have forgiveness. Can we celebrate that today? Yes, we can. How many today say, you know what? I can partake of tabernacle. I can't wait till Jesus calls us home. I can't wait to be raptured with him. I can't wait to be united with him. I can enjoy Passover. I can enjoy tabernacle someday. But why can't I enjoy Pentecost? It's there for me to enjoy. It's there for me to accept. It's there to empower me to live like I've never lived before. The Feast of Pentecost. Is the Holy Spirit Pentecost? He is the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. He is the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. And he says it's for everybody who wants it. Today, for us, for those who have gone before us, and those who are coming after us. He says it's for all those who want it. The question is, why don't we receive it? Why don't we all receive it? We'll receive the Passover, and we're excited about receiving the tabernacle. But will we receive the Holy Spirit? I remember one time when I was younger, that in my infant stage of salvation, that even though I confessed Jesus Christ to be my Lord, that I really wasn't living for him. Anyone can ever relate to that? Grew up in church all my life. And I remember as a time as a young man that me and God had this long talk, and I was like, God, I want to serve you. I want to learn to give you all my life. I remember having that revelation that God wanted all of me, and I was going to give him all of who I was. And I was like, God, I just ask you to forgive me, God, that I haven't totally sold out to you. I haven't totally given you everything I was. And it was in that day that I experienced the fullness of my salvation like I never had before, because I had an understanding. My desires had changed. I remember seeking the Holy Spirit in my life. And when I first was seeking the Holy Spirit, I was like, God, I want your Holy Spirit, but I don't want any of this over here. I don't want to be acting this way. I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. And it was later in my maturity that I went to God and I was like, God, I want all of who you are. I want all of your Holy Spirit in my life. And I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know where it happened at? It happened in the dorm room. Just me right there getting honest with God. God, I want all of who you are. Today, that's my prayer, that we would open up and say, God, many times we think of the Holy Spirit, and we're like, all right, God, I want the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, but, and we try to put all these parameters around it. God, I'll receive it, but don't make me do this, or I don't want to do that. And we try to divide it up. And who are we to control what God wants to do in our life? I say to you today, my prayer is this today, that you would open up to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want you in this fullness. I want you in the fullness of who you are. Knowing today that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me today. It's for me. It's for my children. It's for my children's children. It wasn't just for something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's for me today. I can experience the power of the Holy Spirit walking in my life, operating in my life. This is going to be a good series. I hope you stick around. I hope you continue to dig. See what's there. We're going to take steps and go through and look at the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all that it has for our life. But my prayer is today that we stop taking the Holy Spirit and dividing it up because we're afraid or we're scared of it. And we say, God, I want to open up my life to everything the Holy Spirit has for me. I want to walk in the fullness of power. I want to walk in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want to learn to love the way the Holy Spirit wants me to love and see people that whole way. Let's bow our heads. Father, today, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Today, if you're here today and every head's bowed, I never like to close out a service without giving you a chance. Maybe someone's here today. You say, Pastor, you're talking about accepting Jesus and Passover and what that has to do with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm here today, and I got to say that I need a personal relationship with Jesus. I need to ask Jesus Christ into my life today to be Lord of my life. Forgive me my sins. And today, I want to make sure heaven's my home. Whether you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe you're here as a pastor, I prayed it a long time ago, but I have not lived for God. And today I want to come back and I want to renew my commitment to Christ. If you're here today, no one's looking around, and I would not embarrass you in any way. But say, Pastor, that's me today. I want to accept Jesus Christ where I'm at today in my seat. Can I accept Jesus Christ today? Anybody here today, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Today's your day. Don't let it pass you by. Thank you. Anybody else today, that's you. Say, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else today, you want to join these two? Say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's all say this prayer today. Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I believe in you. I will live for you. I confess you as my Savior and my Lord. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer today and you believe it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, you can give him a hand clap. Before you leave today, we got some special things in the back for you. We got a Bible and some other material to tell you what to do next. Make sure you stop by there. Jeannie's in the back there, and she has those packets ready for you. Our special gift to you today. Make sure you pick one of those up before you leave. I'm going to invite you to stand today. And in closing today, with every head looking right at me and eyes looking right at me, we're wide open. How many today say, Pastor, I want to receive all the Holy Spirit has for me in my life? Anybody today says to me? Boy, I want the Holy Spirit in the fullness, not in the weird way, not in a way that's confusing, but Scripture is very clear about the Holy Spirit. And today, I pray that just about every one of you raised your hands today, and that just thrills me as your pastor, because I know that God is doing something in your life. There's a new dimension that God's calling us to walk in. So today, can we just raise our hands one more time as a sign of surrender? And just say this, Holy Spirit, come. Fill my life today in the new and the fresh. I want to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for me. God, I open my mind. Say, God, I open my mind. I open my spirit. I open my heart. I open my life to the leading of your Holy Spirit. I receive all God has for me today. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm praying that I continue to receive more of the Holy Spirit every day in my life. Lead me, guide me, baptize me in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the fullness of all it is. Listen, you don't want to miss any Sunday. It's going to continue to build and build and build into all the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit in our life. God bless you today. Shake a hand before you leave. We'll see you Wednesday night.